would like to share with you perhaps more out of a counseling background this morning. Living by the Spirit out of our spirit. Living out of God's Spirit out of our spirit. I use this in counseling. However, I just want you to know it's the gospel. It's how God wants us to live. However, I'm going to be using illustrations. There's going to be some models put up here. And so my heart cry is that even this morning, sitting here, freedom would come to people. I've watched teaching like this bring freedom simply because it helps people understand how to process information, how God intends for us to process information. And when we don't process information then we fall back into a default. And so we'll see what the default is. But God truly wants us to live by His Spirit, out of our spirit. Would you join me in reading God's Word this morning out loud? Okay, we're going to be reading out of Romans 8. And we'll read 1 to 4, and then we're going to skip, I think, to verse 12 and read from there. So let's read together in unison. This is God's Word. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but by the Spirit. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Amen? For what the law was powerless to do, in that it was weakened by the sinful nature, God did by sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful man to be a sin offering. And so He condemned sin in sinful man, in order that the righteous requirements of the law might be fully met in us who do not live according to the sinful nature, but according to the Spirit. See? It's powerful reading. Therefore, brothers, we have an obligation, but it is not to the sinful nature to live according to it. For if you live according to the sinful nature, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. Because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. This is God's Word. Amen. Those are powerful words. Powerful, powerful words. And so you see, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, we want to know what it means, what it looks like to live out of our spirit through His Spirit, to live a Spirit-controlled life. God has not given us a spirit of fear. So when a spirit of fear is in us, and there are things that we are naturally afraid of, the thought here in this spirit of fear, it's the thought of living in conscious anxiety. There are things to be afraid of that are good for us to be afraid of. But there are things that we should not live a life of anxiety, of anxiousness, of just sitting on edge. God doesn't give us that kind of a spirit of anxiety. But He has given us a spirit of power and a spirit of love and a spirit of sound mind. And the sound mind means that we will process logically out of a biblically based truth system. Now, we're incredibly complex beings. We're fearfully, we're wonderfully made, we're created in the image of our Maker, and we talked about that being created spirit, soul, and body, and here it is. And look what it says. This is a powerful verse. It says that the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. It means that with integrity. It means that everything is integrated. All the parts of us are integrated. And I pray God, and He is the God of peace, and I pray God that your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless under the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He wants our spirit, soul, and body to be functioning together with integrity. That they work together, they function together. Now, I've had some interesting situations where in dealing with some hurting people, they were going through a very traumatic experience as the one was at a childhood level. And she said when she would hear the person who was going to harm her and abuse her, when she would hear him coming, it was in their another person's home, but when they visited that home, she would hear this, and it was a repetitive thing. She would hear the person coming. She said, I would leave. Now, what would leave? Her body didn't leave, but her spirit and soul would go and do something else somewhere else so that she could tolerate or handle the terror that she experienced. Okay? This is not an uncommon thing, because you see, and what was happening then is that her spirit, soul, and body were no longer working together. They would separate. Oftentimes, hurt, pain, abuse, that type of thing, it causes us to disassociate our spirit, soul, and body. They instead of working with integration, they disintegrate. And so here it's saying that Paul is praying that may the very God of peace bring peace to your spirit, soul, and body, that they would work together as a functioning whole unit until Jesus Christ comes to redeem us, or to bring us, to return us to Him, to receive us as His own. So, I put together some goofy illustrations here that will sort of illustrate how God put us together. So, there's our spirit in the center of us, and there's our soul representing the bigger part. Now, I'm just telling you, this is just one little guy's way of trying to communicate this. Somebody else might have different diagrams. You might have seen other diagrams. That's okay. Just say, okay, it's Jason's way of doing it. Okay, so here's what we see. In our soul, we have our mind. We have our mind and our will and our emotions. We're created spirit, soul, and body, mind, will, and emotions. God is Trinity. He created us Trinity. And so what we want to look here is our mind has two parts to it when we talk about just the way we process information. There's the conscious thinking and reasoning. It's our conscious mind. Right now, hopefully, you're engaging your conscious mind. Okay, we're hearing things, and you're thinking, and you're reasoning, and you're processing information out of your conscious mind. Our conscious mind is tied with our will and our decision making. You're sitting there and you're listening, and you can also choose to say, "Well, yeah, that's okay. I'll receive that," or "No, that's baloney," or "I'm going to go do something else with my thought process and let him talk for a while." Okay, you're making some choices. So our conscious thinking and reasoning is tied with our will. Now, there's our subconscious mind, and in there is our memory. Now, how many of you recognize that we are our memory? We are our memory. If you had amnesia, if you got banged on the head, you had amnesia, you'd have no clue who you were. If it happened right here, I wouldn't know how to get home, because I wouldn't know where I lived. I wouldn't know that I was married to Grace. I would lose my identity. I wouldn't know who I am. So we are our memory. And our memory is all the past experiences that we have experienced from the time of birth up until now, at least the times that we could remember. It's our memory. It's our storage bank. It is who we are. There's happy memories. There's exciting memories. There's sad memories. There's hurtful memories. We are our memory, and it's all there, okay? It's also the center of our learning. When we learn things, it goes into our subconscious mind. And then when we experience life, everything that we experience in life bounces off of something in our past. Okay, because I might experience something new, so how do I relate to something new? Well, our brain is this amazing computer that whatever is coming into us, it connects with, it just, you know, bzz, 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 and it's connecting with all the past experiences, and then we go, oh, okay, it was sort of like that, and then we start responding out of what we have learned from the past. There's habits there. There's good habits, there's bad habits. And so this is sort of our subconscious memory, and that is tied to our emotions and feelings. Okay, so we're just connected that way. So here we have our mind, will, and emotions, and it's sort of our makeup in our soul. Now, our spirit is where our personality is, or not our personality, but it's where the character qualities that are so vitally making us up is. It's in our spirit. For example, if somebody is proud, or if they're humble, okay? Those are two opposing things, and that's going to be out of our spirit. How many of you know proud people? How many of you know humble people? How many of you know people who are sometimes proud and sometimes humble? Okay, it's where we are. And so that comes out of our spirit. It's our attitude. Did you know that most of us, that as we relate to each other, that's what people see? They see our attitude. And it's either a proud or a number one. And so it's what people experience. Our attitude is what shows up. Our attitude can either be joyful, which is great to be around, or resentful. It might be grateful, might be entitlement. The world owes me a living. Okay, and then over here is in our emotions and feelings. There's where our feelings are, and there's somebody said there might be over 100 of them, and there's a few of them. Okay, and then out of our will, we run into the choices that we can make, and there's acts we can choose to act. We can bless. We can do good. We can pursue. We can resist. We can control. We can be humble, or we can be pout. Now, see, we can have a spirit of pride, and yet we can choose to be humble in certain environments. Okay, those are choices that we can make. Or we can have a spirit of humility, and we can still choose to act pridefully. You see, our will can override our spirit. Our emotions can override our spirit. And this is what we want to look at here, because this is very important for us to see and understand how we process information. I think we're all quite aware of that we cannot stop what comes into our experience in life. Here you are at Shiloh, and I'm here this weekend. I'm having a really enjoyable time getting to know new brothers and sisters. You know what's so fascinating to me? I get around a lot of places, and I get to meet a lot of new brothers and sisters. What's so fabulous is because we have the same father, we're in the same family. It's so neat. I never met you before, and yet we're brothers and sisters. And it's so special. It's just so special. And what really happens is our spirits sort of connect. You know, like spirits, and it's really a blessing. But then there's always some people who are, you know, their feelings are on their, they're wearing their feelings on the outside, and it's so easy to bump them. And those are the, see, I come in here as a visitor, and I don't know that, and you know that. You know who those people are, you know? And so I won't know that, so I have an advantage to come in as a visitor. I can say things that maybe somebody else can't say. So I don't know if that'll. See, I don't know how the last teaching would come across if it came across from the prophet in his home country. Okay, so anyway, yeah, so there we have spirit, soul, and body, and there's nothing that can come into our soul unless it comes in through the five windows of the soul, and those are our senses. Okay. Our senses are the windows into our soul. Nothing can come into us unless it comes through taste, touch, sight, hearing, or smelling. Isn't that fascinating? Nothing. Helen Keller was a person who could be reached because she still had sense. She still had touch. She couldn't hear. She couldn't see. Can you imagine overcoming that? It's just beyond imagining. She had an awesome teacher. And so she was able to overcome so much. But she still had the sense of touch. And so those are the senses, and nothing can come into us unless it comes in through there. What we would like to look at is some models of how we process information. So how do we process what comes at us and to us? You know, here at Shiloh, you've had some difficult experiences. In our personal lives, we have difficult experiences. You cannot stop the difficult experiences coming into your life. You can choose how you're going to respond to them. That's what this is all about. We have to be people of intentional choice. Okay. But now let's consider that, because there's some dynamics of that. Okay, so here we have that little lightning strike up there, that red lightning strike, represents something negative. We couldn't choose it. It's going to come in through our sight. It's something we're going to see. Maybe it'll even come through sight and hearing. It might come through multiple of those. And so we have no clue, but here we're going to illustrate it as coming through something we see. It's something negative. Now watch the path that it takes. It's going to come down, and it's go through our conscious mind. You can't keep this from doing any other thing. All right? Now I'm going to back that up, because I have that emotion just blowing up like that. But when that process comes through, it comes into our conscious mind. That's the first thing that happens. When we see something, our conscious mind, oh, hey, there it is. And we see it, and we're processing it. And it goes in and bounces off of all our subconscious thing, where our memory is, And from there, it will go into our emotions. You just can't stop that process. This is a process that simply happens. And so many people, what we're going to see here is the emotions, boom. Do you know anybody like that? Aren't you glad none of us here are like that?
Wow.
So what you end up seeing is when something negative comes in, that's the process. It does the same everywhere. And so the emotions, what happens here is the emotions go boom, and the emotions cover the mind, will, and the spirit. So the emotions control. Many people, and I used to have most up there, but I thought I'd offend many people if I would put most up there. So I dropped it back down to many. But many people live out of their emotions. Do you recognize that? We do. It's a default. That is the default way that we process information, because that's where the experience goes. And so you ever have your spouse do something and you go, ah! Aren't you glad that never happens here? Okay. But see, our emotions, because in our emotions, that's where the anger, that's where the frustration, that's in our emotions, and we go, ah! Okay. Now listen, when we live out of our emotions, we're living in the flesh. We're living out of the old man. You see, our memory is a composite accumulation of all the ways we have learned to live outside of a redeemed experience with Jesus Christ. You see, we might have accepted Christ at what? 12, 15, 18, 20, 30, who knows? But up until that time, we learned to live outside of the control of the Holy Spirit. But even after we accepted Jesus Christ, we might have still continued to live in the flesh. Now, stop and think about this scripture in 2 Corinthians 5, and I'm sorry, I think it's right around 25, where Paul says, I choose to view no man after the flesh, although I once viewed Christ in that way. He used to see Christ as an enemy of God, and so Saul, fought against Christ and fought against the church and even persecuted the church. But he says, now I see him no longer that way, but I see him now after the Spirit. And then he goes on to say that God reconciled us to himself through Christ. And so we were reconciled. We were made no longer guilty. We were made right with God. The books were balanced between us and God through Jesus Christ, because of Jesus Christ. But it's so interesting, you go drop down a few verses later, he says, now I plead with you, be reconciled unto Christ. And I used to go, what's going on here? He just said that we are reconciled in Christ, now he's asking us to be reconciled. Now here's what I believe I see happening. When we are redeemed, he says, you were redeemed. This is something that took place. This is a positional truth. In Christ, you are reconciled. When God looks at you, he sees you through the blood. He sees you through the robe of righteousness that Christ gives you. But he says, you're still living in the flesh. You're still living out of the old man. I plead with you to start living like children of light. That was our devotions yesterday morning that Jerry read to us. You are in the light. You've been delivered from darkness. Now live as children of light. And so what oftentimes we still live in our emotions even after we've been born again. This is the kind of thing that causes problems in the church. When we live out of our emotions. We're living out of the old man. So you were taught that you put off concerning your former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to deceitful desires. You see, our fallen nature wants things, wants our way, wants it to go my way. And so we fight and fume and fuss to get our own way. But he says you were taught to put that off. You used to walk in these ways, in the life you once lived, but now you must rid yourself of all these things. Put these things off. Anger, rage, malice, slander. He says, by the act of your will, put off those emotions. You see, when we live out of our emotions, we live out of the flesh, our feelings dominate. Okay, this is my purpose this morning is that you would self-evaluate. This would be self-examination. Don't examine the brother across the aisle, okay? This is self-examination. See how we function. We our feelings dominate. People and circumstances control us. Did you know that when something negative happens in your life, and it just makes you angry or makes you bitter, you're allowing those people and their decisions to control you. You ever stop and think about that? When you don't forgive somebody, forgiveness is for you, not for them. When you forgive somebody else, you're not doing them a favor. You're doing yourself a favor. You get put out, you get out of prison because you are the one who's captive to your emotions and to your feelings. So when we function out of the old man, function out of our feelings, we let people and circumstances control us. Another thing is we attract to unhealed people. You never noticed that, did you? Unhealthy people attract unhealthy people. And if you have a rebellious group of people, the rebellious people sort of gather and the hurt people gather. You ever notice that? Like kinds find each other. What we need to do is we need to be healed so that we just draw other people and we end up healing each other through, because Christ healed us, and we accept and we love and we belong to each other, and we don't live out of our emotions. And we make the conscious decision that even though I've been wounded, I choose not to live in my woundedness. Let's keep going. We have a spirit of fear. Doesn't come from God. People who do what they do because of what they feel, if you do not understand People do not do what they do because of what they feel. If you do not understand what someone is doing, you don't know what they're feeling. You know what people do? That's okay. You can stand up there. I'll turn around. You're just blocked out a little bit. But you see, if people do what they do because of what they feel. You see, people are living out their feelings. We must not do what we do because of what we feel. That's living out of our emotions. Now, here's going to be another model. Overly strict discipline or abuse can cause an intellectually locked heart. We can shut down emotionally and intellectually, finding life difficult and struggling to make decisions. Now, this is not an overly common, but you can see it, and maybe you'll understand this. You'll see it. Okay, here comes the same process, goes over the same process, but what happens is the abuse and everything else, they just shut down. Their will shuts down. They have a broken will. They have a broken spirit, and their emotions are needy, and they are either very needy or they just shut down. Those people don't function very well. They just stand around and they just have a hard time making any kind of decisions. Know anybody like that? You might. Okay, that's a model that happens. Okay, and those people need a lot of care. They need somebody to come alongside them and just bless them, help them, encourage them, love on them. And believe in them and give them resources to regain some confidence in themselves. We can also harden repressing our emotions and functioning out of our will. This comes out of, you know, I was raised in a very conservative Anabaptist setting, and I appreciate so much my heritage. And it's why I believe in our Anabaptist foundations. I believe so strongly in our Anabaptist foundations because they are Bible-based. They're biblical-based. And I believe in that very, very much so. But I also realize that it had some shortcomings in the fact that it functioned mostly out of their will. And so it would sort of deny emotions and it would sort of put them down. So now here you see the same lightning strike, the same negative thing, coming in the same pattern, but instead of, you see, it wasn't okay to let their emotions do anything, so they would go, we were taught, our fathers wouldn't let us cry, our fathers wouldn't let us experience emotions, so we would shut them down. And so you see this happening. And by the force of our will, we were taught, hey, you can do this, you can stand up, and you can be a man, and you can do this. Well, then you have the will taking over. And if you notice, what happens to that lightning strike, by the force of our will, we can make it look better. Okay? Look at that thing shrink then. Okay? So we can make it look better, and so people say, well, they're doing a pretty good job. Okay? And so that's been a very performance-oriented environment, and we can sort of train our children to do that. We've got to be a little careful with that. So our will takes over, and we shut our emotions down, but you see, the will covers the mind and the spirit. An unbroken will, but a broken spirit, and emotions are denied. You'll see that. That's another pattern. Now, our soul is what us and others think is the real us. Now, remember, spirit, soul, and body? Because our soul is where our mind, will, and emotions are, and that's what people see, our mind, will, and emotions. And so we sort of think that we are our soul, but our spirit is the real us. God breathed into us a living soul, and he gave us a spirit, our spirit is the real us. We are spirit, we own a soul, and we live in a body. Now, here's a question, though, and that is, where do I get my identity from? See, that's important. Because if we get our identity out of our body, now we're going to go after pleasure. If we get it out of our soul, we're going to go after our emotions. But God wants us, or our will, either way. God wants us to get our identity from our spirit. So, how does God intend for us to process what comes at us and to us? So, now you can just sort of lay aside the other ones. Here is what God wants us to do with life. When something nasty comes in, just try and remember this pattern. This pattern is how God wants us to handle things. So, you can't keep this from happening. Here it comes, goes into our conscious mind, through our subconscious mind, goes into our emotions. Listen, you cannot deny your emotions. God gave us emotions so we can enjoy life. If we didn't have emotions, life wouldn't be any fun at all. Yesterday, we spent a lot of time laughing. That was emotions. I loved it. When we go to a funeral, we cry and we weep with those who weep. That's healthy. We sorrow with those who sorrow. We laugh with those, we rejoice with those who rejoice. That's our emotions. God gave us emotions. If we didn't have emotions, we could not enjoy life. So we must not shut our emotions down. But, so you can't keep that from happening. Your emotions will respond. What God does want you to do is not to react out of that. He says, bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. So what we just did there is you don't want to let that negative thing that comes in and it goes over into our emotions, you're going to experience that, but you do not want to allow it to stay there. You want to bring that captive. You want to bring that thought captive. You want to say, okay, man, that hurt, that's nasty, that's ugly, but what would Jesus do with this? So I bring it over into my spirit who's living in my spirit? Jesus. So you saw the shirts already and the sign. What would Jesus do? Okay. I think that's a pretty good question to ask. You take this thought captive, you bring it over by your conscious mind. Your conscious mind takes that thought, brings it over, and says, what would Jesus do with this? And did you know when you ask that question, you almost always know the answer. I can promise you. You see, the problem is we don't take that thought, we don't take that thought captive. We must take that thought captive. Something nasty happens, I don't care if it's in a church setting or whatever, we must take that thought captive, bring it into our conscious mind and an act of our choosing and say, Jesus, what would you do? And Jesus already lives within us. We've been talking about that all morning. He is one with us. He's there. His Holy Spirit is right there. And say, Jesus, what would you have me do with this? And you almost always know. And if you're unsure, you can go to the Word and find out. You can say, I'm going to seek out some more answers. I want to see what God would say about this in His Word. But you can go and you can bring that thought captive and then be renewed in the spirit of your mind. You see, you want to say, okay, God's living here. This is how He would want me to think about this. I am choosing to think this way. That's how you renew your mind. You choose to think the way God thinks about this, how we're going to resolve it. And you know what? We might need to go for our brothers and our sisters. Don't go find somebody who's going to think like you think. Go to somebody that you have confidence in their integrity and say, I'm needing some help. That's why we need each other as a body. We need to stick together as a body. We need each other as a body of believers so that we can receive counsel from each other. So if I have a challenge up home, our lead pastor is Richard Neuswanger. He and I go out for breakfast. I'll call him up and say, Richard, I got some decisions to make. Would you go out for breakfast with me? I can count on Richard telling me the truth. He won't water it down. I know he's a man of integrity. I can ask him something and get an accurate answer. If I want somebody to agree with me, I know somebody else who I can call, and I can take him out for breakfast, and he'll empathize with me and say, well, you poor guy. But I don't want that. Okay? You have to choose what you want. You can choose somebody who's going to side with you, and you're going to create a problem in the church, or you can go for somebody with integrity who you can count on giving you a truthful answer of counsel from God's truth. Are you with me? Are you with me? That's a choice we make. That's a choice we make. God wants us, okay? Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Did you see what happened when we did that? Okay? Look what happens. Our spirit grows. You see, what you feed will grow. You feed your spirit, it'll grow. You feed your emotions, it'll grow. You feed your will, it'll grow. God wants us to feed our spirit. Now let's see what comes up next here. The mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. You see, we must take our mind and say, I want my mind to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. In my mind are memories of negative, nasty things in my past. But Jesus redeemed me from all that, and he can heal me from all that, and I am going to choose to live out of my spirit. And I know it happened pretty sneaky there, but that old negative thing turned into a smiley face. You see, God wants us to take something that was a negative in our life, because what does the scripture say in Philippians? All things work together for good to those who are the called according to his purpose in Christ Jesus. You see, it doesn't matter if it's negative or not. God can take something very negative and turn it into something very positive. I want to give you an illustration. I told the men numerous times yesterday, and I think I might have told you this morning, my marriage failed because of the way I handled life when we were first married. I damaged my wife tremendously. It was a horribly painful experience in our lives. I felt like our marriage was over. If we didn't belong to a church that didn't believe in divorce and remarriage, I don't think we would have made it. I think she would have left me. But that was a horrible, painful experience. It took 2 years for me to try, and I kept on trying. So many things did not work. But humility and brokenness and getting on my knees and asking for her forgiveness and then purposing to live a life of sacrificial service for my family started winning her back. And she said she remembers looking out the window when I came home from work one time, and I think it was about 2 years later when she says, I think I could love him again. But it took 2 years of just keeping on doing the right thing when I didn't feel like doing the right thing. I had to live out of my spirit. I had to live out of choice. I couldn't live out of my emotions. If I would have lived out of my emotions, I would have said, I'm done with this. You know, by now she should have forgiven me and we could have moved on. But I had crushed her heart. And I needed to rebuild it. Your mind has to be set on... The mind set on the flesh is death. The mind set on the spirit is life and peace. We have to have our mindset. We have to choose. We have to choose. Are you with me? Okay. This is the process of living by the Spirit. And then we can turn whatever negative it is, because all things will work together. When we process according to God, we say, Jesus, what would you have me do with this? You see, I wouldn't be here today if it wouldn't be for my marriage failing back then, because it gave me a heart for hurting people and hurting marriages. And today, I realize and recognize I couldn't be the man that I am today if I wouldn't have went through that. I needed to be healed. I needed to be broken. I was very proud. I had a very strong will. I was a driver. I was driven by many things. And I'm so grateful that God broke me and is still breaking me. And it's why I share not only the word, I share my life with you. Paul says, I loved you so much, I didn't just share the gospel with you. I shared my very life with you, and I just decided I'm going to share the good, bad, and the ugly with you. You see, what you see is what you get. But I want to do it in a way that brings glory and honor to him, and hopefully you can learn from my mistakes. And so when we're living by the Spirit, look what happened. Did you see that Spirit grow? Did you see that Spirit grow? Watch. When we have a mind set on the Spirit grows, and look what it does. It doesn't block out the mind, will, and emotions. It controls them. Do you see it? Now we have a mind, will, and emotions controlled by the Holy Spirit. Our spirit living with the Holy Spirit. That's the pattern. Okay, I hope that when things come into your life, you sort of remember this diagram. I watched this turn a marriage around. And it was just the lights came on. This girl had been abused sexually as a child and at school age. And she just couldn't handle life at all. And they had 3 children. Life was just a mess. And and we had spent quite a bit of time with her. It was this, and I asked her later, all of a sudden the lights came on, and boom, it went from dark to light. And all of a sudden, her husband said, I don't know what happened, but our home's different. Our home is different. And I asked her later, she says, because I all of a sudden realized I could choose. I could choose. So one of the titles I call this is The Power of Choice. I can choose. We must choose. What did God tell Joshua? I set before you. You must choose. Choose life. We can choose life. This is life. Now look what happens here. Okay, so now what comes back out? You see, something came in. Whatever comes in has to come back out. What's going to come out? Okay, anger, bitterness, frustration. No, not when you're living by the Spirit. Now you put on the new self who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. Wow, you see the power of this? This is the power of truth. This is the gospel setting us free. This is the word of God setting us free. Now we have a broken will. God wants us to have a broken will. A broken horse is a horse that you can use. An unbroken horse is dangerous. So is an unbroken man and an unbroken woman. A broken man and woman can be used of God, but he doesn't want our spirit broken. He wants us to have an unbroken spirit. He wants to be living in our spirit and our spirit alive and well. That's who we are. We are our spirit because he gave us that spirit to have as a place where he can dwell. He wants our emotions healthy, not controlling us, but he wants our emotions to be healthy so that we can enjoy life. We can cry with those who cry. We can laugh with those who laugh. We can rejoice with those who rejoice. Okay. Now, where do we go from here? Well, the Sermon on the Mount. Because then, you see, then and only then can we love our enemies. You see, when we turn this in, this negative thing, the very person who hurt us, now we can love our enemies. All I can say is at one time, I was Grace's enemy and she was my enemy. And we had to make a choice. We could have called it quit, or we could make a choice. I'm glad we chose. I'm glad she chose. We can bless those who curse you. We can bless those who curse you. When somebody says something ugly to you, you can turn around and you can bless them back. Not easy. I'm just telling you, this is not easy. This is supernatural. This is not natural. This is living by the Spirit. His Spirit. What would Jesus do? This is Jesus' words. Bless those who curse you. Love your enemies. Do good to them that hate you. Wow. This is part of counseling all the time because I'll have a husband or I'll have a wife and say, this is the way they're treating me. I say, well, you do your best to find ways to turn around and bless them. Sometimes, yep, you might have to put some boundaries down. You're not crossing that boundary. But you turn around and you turn a curse into a blessing. You turn a despiteful action into a blessing back to them. That's how we heap coals of fire on their head. And you don't do it just because you want to see them burn. You know? Okay. Pray for them. Do you pray for those who really have messed with you? Do you pray for them? That's what Jesus says. Pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That might be your spouse. Pray for them. Pray for them. Now look what comes up next. That. You may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. We're going to go on a bunny trail. But it's an important bunny trail. There are two Greek words that refer to children. In John 3 verse 1 it says, behold what manner of love it is that we can be called the children of God. That Greek word is technos. It means that I am the son of Lloyd and Lena Reed. Okay, they are my parents. And so I am a technos of Lloyd and Lena Reed. But this word is not technos. This says that you may be the children of your Father who is in heaven. This is weos. I'm not even sure how to spell it. But here's what it means. It means that I look like my daddy and I act like my daddy. Some of you here, when people look at you, say, well, I know what family you belong to. They hear you talking. I know where you belong. Well, everybody, my relatives that I don't see very often, they say, boy, you look just like Lloyd and you act like Lloyd. You see, I look like my daddy and I act like my daddy. Okay, that's what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying, when you love your enemies, when you bless those who curse you, when you do good to those who despitefully use you, and you pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, now you're acting like your daddy in heaven. What it means is you are now a mature child who acts and looks like his daddy. Is that a wow to you? Is that a wow to you? I want to act like my daddy. You want to look like your daddy in heaven? This is how we do it. This is how we do it. Okay, let's read it again. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, those are the mature sons of God who look like their daddy. Got it? You didn't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. You received the spirit of adoption, by whom you can cry out, Abba, Daddy! The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. Now, another goofy read illustration. Okay. Spiritual maturity is living life from the Spirit outward and saying yes to God at every turn and place in our life. So I try and illustrate things that maybe make a little bit of sense. Spiritual maturity results in discernment and wisdom. So the only thing I run into here is people saying it's the wrong color tractor. Okay. But when you stop and think about it, okay, when your spirit is the tractor, how many of you have driven tractors and pull wagons? Did you know the wagon will go everywhere your tractor goes? It follows. And see, when your spirit is the power and it's pulling, then your soul and your body will follow. Immaturity is controlled by the soul, mostly controlled by our feelings. The body and spirit go along for the ride. Okay? You know people like this. Okay? Their soul is in control. Their emotions are controlling them. And when you talk to them, they're going, "Yeah." Okay? Or they're, "Ha ha, everything's funny," or "everything's sad," or "everything's broken." I won't say who it is. Anyway, a relative. And if there's not a crisis happening, they create one. They live out of their emotions all the time. You ever know anybody like that? There's not a crisis happening, they create one. That's immaturity. That's totally immature. Immaturity is being controlled by the flesh, the process reverses. And this is what Satan is doing with this whole concept of sexuality. He wants people to live sensuously and sensually. Sensuous can be okay. Sensual is not okay. Okay? The body controlled by senses. I want what tastes good, touches good, and feels good, and yeah. Yeah. So, soul. Mind is entitlement, expectations, self-centered. My will be done. Emotions are fluctuating depending on circumstances. Okay? The spirit is dominated by self. So, what do you have? You have the body in control. And when the body is driven, driving and pulling, the soul and the spirit will follow. Thank you, Father, for this time we could be together. It's been a blessing. Father, I, in the power of Jesus' name, I ask that you would place maybe even that last diagram, how you want us to process information, that you would just place that in the minds, in the hearts of each one of us, so that when the negative stuff comes, you would bring this to mind. And we could make the conscious choice of not allowing our emotions to just blow up and control us and hurting the people around us, but that we could take each thought captive to the obedience of your will. We could bring it into our spirit and ask, "Oh, Jesus, what would you do with this?" And then we can know. We can know. Give us humility that we are willing to seek out integrity, counsel. Help us to seek your will and word always. And then help us to turn around and bless those who curse us. Do good to those who despitefully use us. Pray for those so that we can be your children who look like you and act like you and bring glory to your name. Help us to understand that we have the power to choose life in Jesus' name. Amen.